Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Also give OTG a follow on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Harris Wishard and OTG's fantasy guru, Dickie Fungo. What's up, guys?
What's going on? Thanks for having me, guys.
What's up, Nick? Nice to see they're playing. They're trying to play nice over there at MSG. That continues, but I don't mind that later. But how's everyone doing tonight?
Comment on the MSG stuff.
let's talk on the court stuff tonight. Just no.
Yeah, on the court. Let's start. Well, kind of off the court. We'll start with the Kevin Love injury. You know, it was announced recently this week that Love had surgery on his left knee. He's going to miss 6 weeks. Now, the Cavs are already without J.R. Smith, and they've obviously had a terrible month of January. So how do you think this impacts the Cavs? Are they going to go out and make a move? You know, they do have some teams crawling up on them. So what do you guys think?
Well, first off, I don't think – obviously, they're not going to be a better team with Kevin Love. But I think that Derek Williams signing is like a blessing in disguise now. I think he's going to be locked up for the rest of the season. The mentality has always been the next man up. You know, I think Channing Frye is going to get his. Derek Williams, I mentioned. I mean, Iman could play the three. LeBron could play the four. I think they'll be all right.
You know what? Watching that game against the Timberwolves yesterday, and by the way, that was a crazy no-look pass LeBron threw.
Yeah, that was.
Through the legs of Wiggins. But God, no, the minutes is crazy. And, you know, he seems to be shaking it off. And that he's, you know, him and Lowry, isn't it amazing that he's, you know, tied for minutes in the NBA right now? It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, like Dickie touched on, you know, Derek Williams, who LeBron has a tendency to, if a guy's on the brink, if a guy's ever had, like, struggles in his career or his thing is always, he's got potential, but, you know, he's athletic. But, you know, any type of maybe off the court issues, you send him over to Cleveland, send him to LeBron, he'll make him look like a borderline all-star. Not to say that's Williams, but I think he'll definitely, as you saw last night, benefit from playing alongside the King. And I think they'll be okay. I'm not sure the one seed means absolutely everything to them, guys. But I think they'll be able to patch some things up together. And Channing Frye looking like he's coming fresh out of college last night.
Yeah, no, I think you guys are right. Frye and Williams will definitely step up. I even think Korver will probably pick up some extra minutes too. But do you think they should make a move maybe and, you know, add some – they talked about adding another big possibly anyways because LeBron could play the four and they could add another center. Do you guys think that's a possibility or they're going to stay quiet?
I think they could. I don't know who they would exactly give up or I don't know. There's not too many, you know, big guys out there. I mean, there's talks
about – there's rumors Sanders. About Bogut.
Oh, Bogut.
Maybe making a trade for him. I heard that.
No, Tristan Thompson will get more of a role too. I think he'll be okay. I don't see them really. I don't know if they're going to do much.
Do you think this will knock them out of the first seed, or they should be fine?
I think they don't like. You know, Harry touched on. I don't think they necessarily need the first seed. You know, I mean, I think rest is key. LeBron is like playing a lot of minutes right now.
Kyrie too.
Yeah, Kyrie's playing like 35, 36. LeBron is almost touching 38. That's a lot for a guy with that many mileage on him. So I think rest is key. You know, I mean, they don't need the first seed. I mean, you know, in the East, yeah, Toronto got better. Wizards are coming, Celtics. But in the big picture, I think we're all like, you know, expecting the Golden State Warriors and, you know, Cavs in June anyway. So I think bigger picture, they should rest up for the playoffs, make a playoff push.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, he's looking for that extended playoff push, and that's going to take a lot of time and a lot of minutes, that alone. So, but you mentioned it, Toronto got better. Toronto, they traded for Serge Ibaka. They gave up Terrence Ross in a first-round pick. What do you guys think about this trade? What do you like about it? What don't you like?
I love that trade. First off, they didn't really give up much. I mean, yeah, they gave up Terrence Ross. Yeah, he was a good player, but he was kind of one-dimensional, and now with the emergence of like Norman Powell, like I think he's easily replaceable. And you give up what a high 20 first round pick, that's okay. And now you get like a great floor spacer with Ibaka. You get some athletic rebounding. You get some shot blocking. I mean, Ibaka's not the player he was in OKC, but I think that he's gonna give a lot of versatility to Toronto.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought this was a great trade. I mean, I was surprised Toronto didn't make a trade for a power forward last year, to be honest. They didn't win and did it this year. And I think Ibaka, like you said, is a great fit. He's a floor spacer. He gives him a little bit of a rim protection. And I think they could even probably pay him and Patrick Patterson a little bit together too, not just with Valanciunas, just if they want to, you know, space it up a little bit, and especially the way he can shoot. And like you said, Terrence Ross just never lived up to the hype, and giving up a first round pick that you're probably not going to get a player that's better than Serge Ibaka. So, and he said he likely is going to re-sign in the offseason. He likes Toronto. So if things work out, it looks like an amazing trade.
You know, and Toronto had been struggling too. And we had
always
touched on the fact that this team had needed front court help. And, you know, if they're going to want to be a threat to Cleveland, it was obviously a necessity. They needed to pick somebody up. Like Dickie touched on, the, you know, him being able to space the floor a little bit, it's going to be crucial for them. And just to take some pressure off what seems like a lot of one-on-one basketball with Lowry and DeRozan off the dribble. It will definitely give some balance to their offense. And, you know, Valanciunas has been playing okay lately too. Obviously, he needs help inside. But I like it a lot. I don't see any, you know, there's obviously not a lot of risk involved here. You're giving away Terrence Ross. But think about Ibaka coming from the environment of OKC. Then I think he shocked a little bit just to what was going on in Orlando. For him to be back in a winning environment will also probably give him a boost as well.
Yeah. Plenty of experience, playoff tested, you know, he went to the finals, went to plenty of playoff experiences. Yeah.
I mean, this is just what Toronto needed too, because they needed another good player. And I think Serge Ibaka is probably underrated. Just the fact that he had to do a lot in Orlando, and in OKC, he was kind of overlooked with KD and Westbrook. But now I think this situation might work really well with him, especially if he develops a good relationship with Lowry. So I think going forward, this could make the Raptors a lot more dangerous. Where do you guys think this puts them? Does this make them the biggest threat to Cleveland in the East, or is that still, you know, Washington or Boston?
I mean, with the way Washington's been playing, it's tough. I mean, I have to see it first, and I'm definitely going to tune in tonight. I think he is debuting tonight. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it looks great on paper, but the chemistry has to, you know, work.
Working, yeah.
Yeah, I still think Washington, just from what we've seen from them lately, is, you know, hopefully come playoff time will pose the biggest threat. But, you know, Toronto not playing their best basketball now, as we know, but could get hot around April also. Boston 2.5 back. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm really, one of the biggest storylines going forward is going to be who's going to, obviously. And right now I'd still say Washington, but obviously this trade's going to have a lot to say about that.
Yeah. I think Washington, you guys, like you guys said, has the most pop, you know, they have that most, the most potential and the most like star power. And they really can, like, if John Wall, Bradley Beal are all playing great, it can have a huge impact on that team, and it gives them the star power to kind of challenge a team like Cleveland. They also, like I mentioned before, they need to make a move for a bench player. What about if Boston made a move? Like, this is, I think this is going to be a big storyline, obviously, leading up to the deadline. If does Boston make a move for a big-time player or add another, you know, good player to this team, or do you think they sit still?
I mean,
and do they need to do it to be the, you know, compete with Cleveland?
Well, I think they definitely need another piece to compete with Cleveland. But I don't know if Danny Ainge is going to do it. He seems like a more, you know, he wants to, like, lowball everybody. He wants to wait for the right trade. So yeah. I don't know if he's going to do it. I mean, if they could get a player like Jimmy Butler, which is, you know, unlikely. But, yeah, I think they're going to stay put. You know, they're going to just keep building on what they have. I mean, it's been working. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they've won 9 out of 10. And, you know, Nick, how I feel about this. I mentioned this before. Mostly young roster. I'm not sure, unless it's like you just said, a Butler, I think they have to be careful with just trying to patch this thing together and adding. If it's the right piece, yeah. But I've always thought this team could kind of build what they're going through. They obviously have those Nets picks, right, as you know, as we remind you of the show. But, you know, they have a nice bright future here with one of the nice bright young stars in the game, IT, right now. So I'm not so sure that they're going to it's going to have to be, I think, the perfect move for them. They're not going to be, I think, pushing anything.
Yeah, they're going to have to win the trade like they have a lot in the past. Yeah. But talking about the other team in the Toronto trade, Orlando, you know, Orlando not that long ago during the draft, they traded for Ibaka. They gave up Oladipo and a lottery pick. And what do you guys think about that and what they did? Now they just traded their Ibaka to Toronto, not for a lottery pick, and Terrence Ross.
I'm not actually sure what they're doing down there. I mean, to be honest with you, I was really high on Oladipo, you know, coming out of college. You know, I thought he was going to be like somewhat of like a Dwayne Wade kind of player. I mean, not as great as Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, he looked really good coming out of college.
Yeah, but, you know, it didn't pan out. I mean, I guess the silver lining was, you know, you avoided paying big money to Oladipo. And, you know, seeing that he's somewhat kind of underperformed OKC, it makes it look okay right now. But basically, yeah, you trade Oladipo, the 11th pick, Ersan Ilyasova for Ibaka. Now, like, you know, now that Ibaka hasn't worked out for you, you turn Ibaka into Terrence Ross, and now another first-round pick, which is probably going to be, like, a really high pick. I mean, like, high upper 20s. Mm-hmm. So, basically, you turn Oladipo into Terrence Ross and then a high 20s pick. I mean, it doesn't exactly. really make sense.
And especially for the team that has so – I mean, the only thing that it probably did that's positive for them is they got rid of a big – because they had so many already and they had a crowded front court, but still, even what they did this offseason, a lot of people were confused about it with the Jeff Green signing, Bismack Biyombo and Serge Ibaka all coming in. Yep. And, you know, they've hurt the development of probably their brightest prospect in Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation in Orlando right now. And, you know, they dealt one of the players that I really liked the last year was Tobias. And I thought maybe he had an opportunity to grow in Orlando.
That was weird. They did like give up Tobias, not for much of anything. Yeah. And, like, I mean, it's not like he's an amazing player or anything, but he's still a good player that, you know.
Capable starter in this league.
Exactly. And you could – I feel like they could have got more for him last year, but well, they just –
They're creating an unfortunate trend for themselves right now in that they don't seem to be getting value back for – and I understand kind of what they're doing as far as where they're trying to go and what they're trying to build, but
– I don't really see it.
you're confused.
No, I mean, I just don't think it makes sense. Like, I can – like, they've made moves and just it just doesn't fit for the way the NBA is going and the type of prospects they have on their team. I mean, unless, like, Frank Vogel really wants a different team and he, like, hated all the players that they already had.
Yeah.
But even then, like, still, like, Ibaka, like, trading for Ibaka and then just trading Ibaka, like, you had to think that through that might not work out and then you just, like, lost yourself. You know, you probably could have got someone who would be under contract for next season or at least –
It brings up the all-important question is, can you win with Elfrid Payton as your starting point guard in the NBA?
I mean, I don't – he's gone from starter to bench, like, back and forth. Yeah. And his lack of jump shot is just really – it's really hard for teams to start point guards with bad jumpers, especially in today's NBA with the spacing and the athletes in the NBA. I just think it's so hard to play a point guard that can't shoot.
And who has been start – he goes back and forth with who?
Like, DJ Augustine has started a little bit.
They're playing CJ Watson, too. I mean, isn't he –
Yeah, and like
37 years old.
I hate TJ Watson too for what he did against the Bulls on the Nets.
And so. They're barely giving minutes to what was like a top five pick in Mario Hazonia or something.
Yeah. They were like
so looking. What happened to that?
Yeah, they were even looking to trade him earlier this year. I don't know if they still are, but just a weird situation. I think their GM's on a contract year, so.
Yeah, second worst record in the East right now.
Yeah. We know who has the worst. There was another trade earlier this week too. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on Saturday because I think it just happened right after the Denver and Portland trade. Mason Plumlee going to Denver. Joseph Nurkic going to Portland. Also, Portland picked up a first round pick, and I think Denver picked up a second round pick. So, what do you guys think of this trade? It's kind of surprising. I didn't think Portland was going to move Mason. I thought he was working out pretty well there.
I was shocked. I was like, what? This is actually happening? I mean, every time I tuned in like a Portland game, it seemed like Mason Plumlee was like, you know, the guy who played the hardest. You know, he was like the key guy, you know, who made, you know, those tough screens for Lillard and CJ. And, you know, he was like a very good passer for a big. You know, he wasn't soft. You know, I mean, he's not going to
give He had some toughness, which that team needed.
Exactly. He wasn't soft. You know, he wasn't going to give you 20 and 10, but he was going to set great screens. He knew how to roll, you know, to the basket. He was versatile, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I guess Portland just realized that he kind of hit his peak as an NBA player. I mean, maybe that's why.
I don't think they wanted to pay him either.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, the contract that he was probably going to demand with, you know, they have a weird contract with Allen.
They have way too many contracts right now. They have in their backcourt alone, they have Dame pretty much maxed out, CJ maxed out, Allen Crabbe maxed out, and Evan Turner.
That's one of the worst contracts in the sport.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is a terrible contract.
How many?
I mentioned it before Crabbe's when they matched Allen Crabbe's contract that it was going to cause them a real issue because they had so much money locked up into that those like three/two positions. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't pay so much for that position that they don't really have like a true dominant type of big player. So
you're gonna have to pay CJ too.
I think CJ.
No, CJ got paid already.
Oh, he just extended. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, they're in an interesting situation. It makes sense though for them. They pretty much give up a player they didn't want to re-sign. They get a first round pick back, and Nurkic isn't like a terrible player. Like, he has potential. Before Jokic came around, people were kind of excited about Nurkic in Denver.
Yeah, his per 36 numbers is really good. Like 16 and 11 with like a block and a half. Those are really good numbers per 36.
And one thing I always liked about him is he kind of, like Mason, he had some toughness. I remember like his rookie season, he like went at it with DeMarcus Cousins. And so like he's no joke. So I think, I mean, he could work out, and Portland could have really won this trade. But me and Harris talked about this a little bit. What do you guys think about like Mason's fit in Denver? Is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? Is he going to play with Jokic? You know, how's that going to work out?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out, because I don't know if he could defend fours.
I don't think so. But from my opinion, watching him in Brooklyn for such a long time, that him and Brooke Lopez couldn't play together. Brooke obviously wasn't shooting threes at that time, but it still was somewhat an issue just because they couldn't defend. And like Jokic, I don't think could defend fours either.
Yeah, maybe kind of like slow footed.
Yeah. I mean, Mason's athletic, but like, Mason has an issue where he like thinks that he can block every shot. Like when he was on the Nets, he would just like let guys get past him because he thought he could block their shot, and they would just get it in, and it would drive me nuts. But I think that might be an issue. I don't know. They might bring him off the bench, or maybe they can make it work somehow, but I don't know.
Yeah, what's interesting is there's a report saying that they want to sign him long term. So yeah, that's really interesting.
Maybe as a six man type of role, coming off the bench, playing a little bit of his minutes with Jokic, kind of staggered. Could possibly work out. His passing ability does make it a little bit easier, especially because Jokic is a very good passer as well, and he can shoot the three ball. But obviously, we know Mason can't really do much on offense but lay it in and dunk it in. So that's where it gets interesting too.
Yeah, I don't know. This is
maybe it's just another aspect.
It's kind of a head scratch. I like the way Mason fit there. So I'm obviously interested to see. I mean, we know about what Denver's actually. You got to touch on this now. Denver with the three-point tie and the three-point record the other night. There's some good young talent over there. Am I correct?
Good young talent, and there's veteran talent. That's what makes them probably one of the more interesting teams at the deadline, because they could really go either way. They could add some more assets to their team if they want to move Wilson Chandler or Gallinari.
Yeah, they want to move Moutier now today too.
Yeah, so today. So I mean, they'll be an active team. Also, before we get off Portland, I think they have three first round picks this year, so they could even turn those three picks around and make a big time move.
Yeah, they won that trade, I think. I mean, capable. Nurkic, he's capable.
Exactly. I think, and if they do something with the three picks, or even they combine the three picks and move up high in the draft or something like that, it could really benefit them in the future. Or if they need to get rid of those ugly contracts, pack Evan Turner with a first-round pick, we'll take him in Brooklyn for the first-round pick.
Yeah, they're willing to move him. They're willing to move him.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, because I know at the deadline, a lot of teams are going to be needing to get rid of some of these ugly contracts. And the Nets have plenty of cap room. I know the Nuggets have plenty of cap room. There's a few teams that can really just, like, suck on contracts because they're not even at the floor.
Is he in a bad contract, Turner, too?
Yeah, he's on a bad contract.
He's making, like, $16 million this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously he could still turn around, but it wasn't like he hasn't done amazing in Portland.
He's always been just average, former number two pick. Yeah, he hasn't exactly panned out.
I think his lack of three-point shot always hurt him too. If he was a better three-point shooter, he probably would have a little bit better career too.
Yeah.
It's just how important the three ball is in the NBA.
Yeah, Turner, he's more of a mid-range, and he's not an elite scorer either, so he's more of
he's a good all-around guy to have off your bench, like as a guy to bring off, so – it's not like he's terrible, but he's
just average across the board and everything. Not good in one, just average.
Yep, and now he's with his third team. So is he a name that's continuously being
fourth team, I think.
Oh yeah, Indy Philly ball. Yeah, fourth team. Well, he played like 20 games with the Pacers. Right?
Yeah, that was a weird signing because I always thought that signing would actually work out. When he went from Philly to Indiana, that he'd be able to give them like a nice player off the bench, but it was terrible.
Yeah. Didn't work out at all. He was okay in Boston, I thought.
Yeah, no, he was good in Boston. He was better in Boston than he is now, probably. He just fit really good in what they needed him to do.
Is his name coming up a lot now?
There was a report today saying that they're willing to move Crabbe and Turner.
Yeah. I like Crabbe's game. He's a younger player, too, and he seems that he's be able to develop a little bit further along.
His hair bothers me. I don't know if I can watch 50, 60 plus games of Alan Crabbe.
But obviously, you know, tonight we got a big slate of games. Tomorrow there's two games, and then we got All-Star Weekend. So what are you guys most excited to watch for All-Star Weekend? Storyline or an event, or give me both.
I was excited about the Rising Stars until I read that Joel Embiid's not participating. So, I mean, I'm still excited about it. I would definitely still watch it. But, yeah, now without Joel Embiid, it's like, oh, man. Do you know who's in this game? It's like Karl Anthony Towns, Jokic. You have Turner. You have KP. And then it could have been Joel Embiid. That would have been an amazing game to watch. But, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been cool, especially if they just like started putting mad bigs on the floor.
the celebrity All-Star game, is that an option?
Yeah, that's an option if you want that.
Who's playing this game?
Well, probably
Kevin Hart always plays it, I feel like.
Yeah. My boy Mike Rappaport sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in it a lot.
The podcast. Yeah, you'll get some like art musicians and you know, actors.
Yeah, I always watched it, and I think Kevin Hart like won MVP like the past 2-3 years or something like that.
Yeah, what was I gonna say? It's funny to see how like bad some of them are and how good some of them are.
Like Justin Timberlake's got some game. Yeah. Terrell Owens has played before. He's got great athleticism.
But for me, I mean, the easiest thing for that I'm excited to watch. I want to see like the interaction between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, or Russell Westbrook and just all the Golden State Warriors, because I'm starting to think that he's like developing a hatred for the whole squad, just Durant. So like, and people are like, oh, they're going to get back together. I feel like it's somewhat getting worse in a way, especially after the last game. It just seems so sour.
I think for TV, they're just going to act okay. You know, they're going to avoid the questions, you know, because that's the right thing to do. But, yeah, in the locker room, I'm not expecting them to talk much. I mean, yeah, they're just going to probably stay out of each other's way.
Yeah. Westbrook will just, like, ignore the shit out of all of them. Like, he'll just, like, they'll be like, I have to give him a pound, and he'll just, like, look at them and walk away.
Westbrook with a snap. He snapped the other day, "Cash me outside." There could be some "Cash me outside." How about that? There could
be. Yeah, there could be. So I imagine if him and Durant got into it, it would be kind of funny. It would be, like, more of a friendly fight type of thing. I don't think they'd, like, try to kill each other, but.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I Westbrook in that fight. I really don't. Yeah, I think there's some real drama there. It's not fake news.
Like, no, I would take Westbrook now. Fight. There's been a lot of talk. I just listen to Mike and Mike a lot. There's been a lot of talk of like different fights, with like hypothetical fights because of this McGregor Mayweather thing.
Yeah.
So, in that one, in that specific case, I would take Westbrook. I think more anger going in.
Yeah, he might break one of KD's limbs just because they're so lanky.
That would be fun. But Draymond's not gonna let it happen.
Yeah, Draymond's there to protect him. I don't know. Draymond's been pretty pissed at him. He might let him get a few shots in and then break it up.
He's got a podcast now, Draymond Green.
Does he?
Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
It's Dre Day, and he does it with like one of the beat reporters for the Warriors. So
that's pretty cool.
JJ Redick on the podcast, and obviously we know what he's done. But Draymond Green, the outspoken forward, now is taking his talents to the podcast airwaves.
Wow. I'll have to check that out. That wraps it up for today. Thank you, guys. Thanks for hopping on, Dickie. We'll be on Saturday. We have some special stuff for you this weekend with All-Star Weekend, so definitely keep an eye on that at OTG's Twitter.
Thanks for having me. Until next time, guys.
Good stuff, Dickie. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for all the support. Again, OTG Basketball on Twitter. I got the Knicks stealing one in OKC tonight, guys.
I wouldn't bet on that one.
I'm not going to bet on it.
Nah, Westbrook isn't losing another game. They got killed last game, so I think he's going to come out angry.
I think he's going to kill him tonight.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But that wraps it up. Thanks, everybody.